You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. Michael Bumpus in for Dave Moore today. Hey, a reminder, because it's Blue Friday, we're asking you to head to 710sports.com/win and submit a Blue Friday photo of yourself in Seahawks gear. You'll have a chance to win a Seahawks Pro Shop gift card. Thanks to our friends at the Seahawks Pro Shop who want to get you ready for the Seahawks playoff matchup this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. Details and rules for our Blue Friday photo contest are available at 710sports.com/win. And then you heard the music coming in there. More Rush in honor of the late, great Neil Peart of Rush, who passed away, in case you missed that, at the age of 67. Really, really sad. All right, we got one line open right now. 421-3776, toll-free, 866-979-3776. You guys fill in the blank. Seahawks win if. And before we get to the calls, let's start with you guys. Michael, I'll start with you. You're the guest today. Seahawks win if.
Seahawks win if they rush the ball for 60 yards, 65 yards. And can I throw an and in there?
In total between everybody?
No, running backs.
Okay.
Just running backs. Those two, the combo. Give me 65 yards, and they are at least 60% on third downs.
Okay. They were 8 of 15 last week, which was really good.
They were great on third and long.
And they all felt like they were third and forever.
It was like 5 third and tens that they converted.
Yeah. All right, so 60% on third down, at least 65 yards combined between Lynch and Homer.
Jim? Yeah, you know, I hate saying win the turnover battle because that's such an obvious one in any game that's being played. But, boy, we know how important that is this week. And the Seahawks haven't created a turnover in the last three games. And now, and the first one with Diggs starting at safety was this last one against Philadelphia. But it just seems like that's the best thing that the Seahawks defense has going for them against Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. I don't think you're going to do that rope-a-dope, bend-don't-break thing that Pete Carroll has been employing this year. But if that's going to be successful, you're going to have to get some turnovers. It's going to be difficult with Aaron Rodgers only throwing 4 interceptions this year. And I think I heard Brock talking earlier today about Aaron Jones only losing 2 balls all year on fumbles. So, but I still think that the Seahawks, the turnover differential being equal with these two teams, but they got to force some turnovers to win that game tomorrow or Sunday.
I think if they can protect Russell Wilson and limit the damage that the Smith brothers, even though, you know, I know what they've done throughout the season, almost as many sacks between those two guys as the entire Seahawks team. If you can limit that damage, and Russell can do it on his own, I think he can have success against that secondary, especially if you look at the numbers, the deep ball, they seem susceptible to that. So if they can take advantage of that, as long as you can keep Russell clean, just keep him clean, keep him off his back, I think they've got a really good shot. That's easier said than done with a makeshift offensive line. It's going to be taped together. We have no idea who's going to be playing on the line out there.
Well, yeah, Pete Carroll saying today that George Fant and Dwayne Brown are going to be game time decisions.
Yeah,
and so that's your starting left tackle, your backup left tackle, and they might have to go to Chad Wheeler, who just was promoted from the practice squad at left tackle, if both those guys can't go.
Yeah, so it sounds very simplistic. Hey, just keep them clean. Well, that's easier said than done when you've got two guys like they have on defense that get to the passer the way that they do, and you've got your offensive line in a shambles right now, and you're on the road. So I think it's a tall task, but
it's really amazing, isn't it, though, that they've gotten this far down to the last 8 teams when you think about who they have back there at running back. And we haven't even mentioned Joey Hunt at center. They lost Will Disley a long time ago.
You forget about Britt being knocked out early in the season.
And then who was the tight end I'm forgetting about that we were waiting to come back?
Ed Dixon. Yeah.
He was your second string tight end.
Yeah.
And so now, and Luke Wilson's your third. And basically, I guess Hollister now is, I mean, he's your starter, but he was the 4 stringer at one point this year.
He's on your practice squad and you let him go.
And Kendricks is out on the other side of the ball. Clowney's been hurt. All these different
Hunt's
things.
Hunt's been hurt. Reed was gone for 6 games. I mean, yeah,
It's amazing that they've gone this far.
All right, it's time to get your take on it. You guys fill in the blank. Seahawks win if. Let's start with Stu. Stu, welcome to the show.
Bob, Jim, Bump, what's going on?
What do you say, man?
Seahawks win. Marshawn gets second level, resulting in a touchdown, and Diggs gets a pick off on an overthrown ball from the man.
All right.
I like that. Those are all reasonable things to expect.
I like it. Thanks, Stu. That opens up a line, 421-3776, toll-free 866-979-3776. It's just, and we talked about this yesterday, Aaron Rodgers has had 6 interceptions in the past 2 seasons combined.
Crazy.
He just doesn't turn the ball over. He might throw it away. He might have bad passes, as we talked about. But those bad passes, as you talked about, they don't go to the opposition the way Jameis throws it to the opposition. It's his guy or nobody.
Yeah, he's very responsible. So if the Hawks were to get a pick, let alone a pick 6, if you score on defense or on special teams, the chances of you winning the ballgame just shoot up. So if Quandre can have a Quandre moment and get one to the house, pick 6, safe to say that their chances are pretty good to win this ballgame.
Let's head to Bremerton, bring in Marty. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hi, Seahawks win if we can consistently put some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. If we let him sit back there with no pressure, he's going to kill us. And I want to involve Marshawn Lynch a little early in the game. As a Big 12 fan, I want to see Lynch on the field. He just brings energy to us, and we love him. Go Hawks!
All right, Marty. Appreciate the call. I like the energy.
Marty's fired up.
I like that. That opens up a line. The thing about pressure with Aaron Rodgers is he, like Peyton Manning and a couple other quarterbacks, seem to just crave the blitz. Mm-hmm. They almost crave that pressure because they pick it apart.
Yeah.
Is that the best thing? I mean, do you think, well, if you get pressure on him, we just talked about it, he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, he doesn't make mistakes. And you're right. Guys like that see pressure and throw into the pressure. If you're getting blitzed off the left side, there's going to be space on the left side for a play to be made. So you got to pick your poison. I think you get pressure by doing more stunts on the offensive line, on the defensive line, to confuse the offensive line. If you keep firing off the second level, and Jimmy Garoppolo's good at that too, man. Say what you want about Jimmy, but they recognize blitz and they throw into it. So how do you mix that up? Mix it up on the D-line. You got to blitz and send pressure every now and then, but I'd focus more on stunts on the defensive line.
Boy, they were good this last week, weren't they? No one thought the Seahawks had to have 7 sacks.
But they sacked a 40-year-old with a hamstring that was hanging off the bone. Maybe that had something to do with the ability to get to him. I don't know.
Well, why'd you have to throw that in?
Well, because I'm wondering if that's why they had so much success about the injury.
Did they have 7 sacks?
6 on him, 1 on Wentz.
It's Blue Friday. Come on.
I'm with you. It was great. I celebrated it. I love it. I don't know that I expect that this week, but they could shock us all. They could shock us all.
Before you go to another caller, let me ask Michael another question. And it's probably oversimplifying things, but you've probably been on teams where something like this has happened. So we know that George Fant and Dwayne Brown might be out. They're game time decisions for Sunday. And Mike Iupati, I think, is listed as doubtful too. So you might have a completely revamped left side of the line. Is it as simple in the game plan where you're thinking to yourself, okay, I don't really want to run left in this game. We're going to run right. Or is that overthinking things and the Packers would be thinking the same thing?
I think it's overthinking it. I think you have to go with your game plan. And if your game plan is not to run left, then you're just limiting yourself. Then you become super predictable. And I think that because of the preparation, because of this is the NFL, these are professionals, you can't change your game plan as far as which way you're going to run because of a left side is banged up. If you run right 80% of the time, teams are going to pick up on that, and I'm sending pressure to the right side and maybe even blitz off the backside. So you just got to go. You got to roll, baby. Roll the dice and play with what you got.
That wasn't my best question of all time, but I wanted to ask it anyway.
That's all right. Maybe if they do start doing that and they think, oh, they're trying to account for the left side, they'll run a little naked bootleg to the everything goes right, and here comes Russell to the left, and everything's open. You never know. Maybe it opens something up. Let's see. Ed and Breyer has been waiting patiently. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, we got the go-to guy and Bump City, some serious Cougs in the house.
Big Coug, big Coug rep here.
Big time, which is awesome. But, I think the odds are against the Hawks. They're going to have to get a turnover, at least one minimum. They really need Dwayne Brown. I mean, I'm really hoping that he can make it. It's going to be tough without him, and Lord knows George Fant. I mean, yeah, so they need Dwayne Brown. They need some turnovers, and they're going to have beast mode find that old magic if they're going to get a win in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
All right, Ed. Appreciate the phone call. So they need Brown, they need beast mode, and a turnover.
I would agree with all those things. But, you know, what are you going to get from Dwayne Brown if he does play, though? 3 weeks off of arthroscopic surgery?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know how far away he is from 100%. Is he 70? I don't know. I'm sure if they put him out there, they feel like he's a better option than whatever would be behind him.
Well, especially a guy that's just coming up from the practice squad, even though he has had some starts with the Giants, but most of those were at right tackle. He's been practicing at left tackle, Chad Wheeler. And we'll see. That's what they might be reduced to, though.
Let's see. You got one line open right now, 421-3776, toll-free, 866-979-3776. Seahawks win if you guys fill in the blank. Let's bring in Jack. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Just talking Hawks, man. What do you think? What do they need to do to win?
So, first of all, I think Dwayne is going to make it back. I had arthroscopic on my knee, and I climbed a mountain like 2 weeks later. So, I'm not a football player. He's a beast from what I hear. So, I think he's making it to the game. I know the Hawks are going to be running the ball, so that's not the thing. They need to get a turnover. And preferably after they've just punished the offense on some hard-earned yards, and then just to cap it off with taking the ball away from them. And then they need to keep both Lockett and Metcalf productive. I think if they keep them both productive, their defense is going to have to be honest and have to address both of those threats, and I think the Seahawks are going to win 28-17.
Ooh, that would be one of the most comfortable wins of the season.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Hey, Michael, who do you think is going to have a bigger game receiving-wise, Lockett or Metcalf?
I'm going to say DK. I think that he's just in the zone right now. I think that because of the past few weeks, the way he's performed, they're going to drop a couple plays for him. And I think he's going to require a lot of attention, so that might open up things for Lockett. But I think initially, I think DK is going to have at least a chance to have a better game. But I'm going to go with DK.
Yeah, I was going to say Lockett because of all of the attention DK is getting on his performance last year. I think there'll be a concerted effort from the Packers to say, all right, you know, we've been prone to the deep ball. We're not going to let that guy beat us that way. I think they could open some things up for Lockett.
You know, it's cool thinking about after watching that game in Philadelphia and seeing the rookie season he's had. I mean, you might have, what, one of the top 3 to 5 receivers in the NFL for the next 10 years. I mean, are we talking like a Julio Jones or something like that with DK Metcalf? Could he be,
I don't know if he's got
Antonio
those
Brown?
Not.
Could he have these spectacular numbers? He was almost at 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah.
And you look at what he's done, he might be a 1,200-yard receiving guy, maybe even 1,300 at some point.
I think very easily he was up over 9 this year. I believe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As a rookie who, you know, he had his ups and downs in terms of hanging on to the ball and turning the ball over. I mean, he's the potential, sky's the limit. I mean, he seems to be that elusive big target with speed that they've been craving. They've tried with bringing in Sidney Rice or Mike Williams or guys that are bigger, and they just haven't been able to land that guy. He feels like he could be him.
Yeah, they brought in a lot of guys, but what DK has on them is that he's young. You know, this is his first year in the league. He's still growing. He's still getting better. So I think at least he will be a future Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I think it looks like that should have. I'd be stunned if it didn't happen, if he's healthy. Chuck's been waiting patiently. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Yes. Well, no one's really been talking about the weather factor, and I'm going to assume that the weather factor is going to be a major factor, and so I'm going to say that it's going to be a lot on the running game more so than on the passing game. Much like the Apple Cup last year, we had a great quarterback with Wazoo, and it was UW that ended up winning because of the weather. And
is that why they won?
The running. Well, I think that's a lot of it. The main shoe air raid defense that was run by Leach had been doing great all year, and then they hit the wall when it came to the weather. So I'm kind of thinking that the Seahawks win if they have a better running game and if the defense can hold their running the game down, because Aaron Rodgers, he's a good quarterback, but I don't know that he's going to get to throw that much that's going to make a difference. So,
all right, Chuck, I appreciate
the phone
call.
Go Cougs, Chuck.
There you go.
I like that call from Chuck.
I'm into
the weather too.
I don't like blaming the weather for your loss. Who should have been more prepared to play in that kind of weather, the Huskies or the Cougs?
No comment. Okay. But I have the updated weather report. There might be some listeners in the 5 o'clock hour that didn't hear it at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
You want me to repeat it?
Sure, if you'd like.
Okay. All right. So it's supposed to be overcast in Green Bay, a high of 24 degrees in the afternoon, winds 5 to 10 miles an hour, but a 60% chance of snow Sunday night. Now, the question is, does that mean the game is local time, 5:40 kickoff there in Green Bay? So we know that nighttime starts at 6 o'clock. Does
maybe
it mean
it
later that evening will
something?
It be in the game? And 1 inch of snow is expected in Green Bay at this point, so we'll see. And I'm in favor of snow falling in Green Bay because
you're
alone. That will add to the mystique of Lambeau Field. And if the Seahawks pull off the win, everyone will remember it more vividly if there's snow there.
I haven't seen anybody join you on that particular wish.
Well, I don't care. I like my island.
Okay, let's head to Puyallup. Frank is here. Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're good, man. What do you got? Seahawks win if?
The Seahawks win if the trainers do their job and keep the right cleats on the guy's feet. And if Wilson plays it smart and spreads the ball around, not straight to Metcalf, or he'll be picked off. And they got to stop the run so Aaron can throw some over-the-head passes so we can intercept them. That's it.
All right. Good cleats, and make sure you hit your targets, not the other team.
Yeah. Well, good cleats are key. And stopping the run is a key. Aaron Jones with 3 100-yard games in the last four to finish the season. So, yeah, that'll be a priority for sure.
Let's see. Tony and Yakima is up next. Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Bob?
Good, man. What do you got? How do they win?
They win by Aaron Rodgers can have 300 yards. That's not a problem. They cannot give up chunk plays to Aaron Jones. KJ and Cody Barton have to set the edge. If Bobby Wagner and KJ had the speed they had in 2014, I pick the Seahawks to win easily. They don't. Those guys have to set the edge against him.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Tony. Let me ask you that, because Tony's not the first to bring that up, feeling like I hear it more about KJ than I do Bobby, but just the speed, maybe taking losing half a step, if you will. Do they look different to you?
Yeah, they look different. I mean, they're supposed to. They're in their 30s now. You know, that's what father time does. You lose a step physically, but you might gain a step in knowledge and flow and recognition of plays and stuff. So people were knocking on KJ earlier this year. He has low-key had one of his best seasons as a football player. I think he's like 8th in the league in tackles or something like that. So he may have lost a step, but as of late, he's playing well. He's got a couple big hits against the Niners. He's got
some big hits in that Eagles game.
Yeah,
man. He was physical.
He's got a career year in picks. So KJ's doing all right.
All right, out to Edmonds. Ross is with us. Hey, Ross.
How's it going?
Good,
well,
man.
I hate to burst the bubble here, guys, but I'm afraid there's going to be a 0.00% chance on this one. I just feel that
zero.
It's 0% chance. It's just too flat. Way too flat. The energy's not there. I mean, the only chance that I would give them, if they come out with some juice, the first, second, third down plays have just been way too flat. You got to mix it up. Run some plays that you see in some college. It's just way too flat, way too predictable. I don't see the win here.
All right, Ross. We'll see what I hope you're wrong, but we'll find out. Appreciate the phone call. And some of the play calling we saw last week where it'd be, you know, you get stuffed on first down. They'd run it again on second down, which was putting them in these third and long situations, putting them behind schedule, as it were. I'd like to see them vary that up a bit. I'd actually like to see them come out with a little pace. It feels like this offense tends to find a rhythm whether it's 2 minutes, it's the end of a half, whatever. I'd like to see them come out like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see them come out with some pace and go empty every now and then. Towards the end of that game last week, they got empty a bunch of times towards the game, end of the game against the 49ers. They got empty and were able to move the ball. So if they do go up tempo, I'd like to see some empty and see John Ursua. I've been waiting on this guy. He had a big catch. His first catch against the Niners was a huge one. I think he's a diamond in the rough, and he might be a key to this game.
The poor kid, I felt sorry for him after the game because it was like his first catch, his first career catch in a huge game against the 49ers. But you heard Pete Carroll say that, yeah, he should have been in the end zone for that catch. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Well, but he got him a first down.
He got the first down.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, it's a little rough on the criticism on that one. But all right. Did he make a mistake? Should he have been?
No, he's coming back to the football.
Yeah.
You got to come back to the football. If he doesn't come back to the football, then he probably doesn't complete that play.
Yeah. Don't we need a caller to counter Ross's pessimism there?
They're tearing Ross up.
Well, everybody else has been positive. So, I mean, it's only one.
It sounded like me.
It's only one amongst this ocean of optimism. Let's head out to Shelton and bring in Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Seahawks win if they have some good energy and win the turnover battle. They do that with Cody Barton getting a pick in the first half.
Cody Barton with his first pick. All right.
Hey, Tom, we talked to Cody yesterday, and it sounded like what game was that? Was it the 49er game where Wagner deflected a pass that Cody thought that he was for sure going to be in line for an interception? So
he's ready. He's He's there.
All right, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. Let's see if we can get through these before the break. Jeff and SeaTac is next. Jeff, go ahead, man.
All right. Well, I think that we need to win this game first, like everybody else said, you know, hold Aaron Jones to under 60. But, I mean, kind of the same way that we've won a few of these games. We need to have Mason Crosby miss a field goal when it counts. We might need Jadeveon Clowney to fall on Aaron Rodgers' head or somebody twist an ankle like Darius Smith. Like, you know, this is kind of how we've won a lot of these games. You know, some of the key players have gone down, and obviously we're not going to try to make that happen. But I'm kind of with Ross on this one. I feel like we would need something like that to happen in order to pull this one out and obviously win the turnover game too.
All right, Jeff, appreciate the phone call. No doubt a tall order. And can you imagine if Clowney knocked out another quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, a little bit of breaking news. Mark Maskey from the Washington Post reporting that Clowney is not going to be fined for the Carson Wentz hit.
Good.
Oh, that's good to hear.
He was a runner.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So there you go. And the first hit on Nick Foles that everybody references, they rescinded the fine on that. So he's not a dirty player.
Just put flags on the quarterback so you can get over with. You can't do anything to the quarterbacks.
Even when they're running back diving and stretching for a first down, you're supposed to step back and go, okay, you're down. Let me pat you on the shoulder. Come on, man.
And that was the first mention of kickers all week, by the way.
Yeah.
From our last call.
I think Crosby's having a really good year.
Crosby, he's got an edge over Myers here. Crosby is 22 of 24 on his field goals. He's only missed one extra point all year. Myers, 23 of 28 on field goals, and he's missed four extra points. So it's not a huge advantage for Green Bay, but a little one.
All right, quickly out to Tacoma. Nick, what do you got, man?
You know, I think we need to get Russell in space, let him run a little bit more. You know, with two running backs that are kind of off the street, doesn't seem like they were getting a lot of space last game. And even the announcers on TV were like, hey, when Russell runs, it kind of holds the defense accountable to watch out for him as well. So maybe it'll open up some lanes for the running back.
Yeah, I think you're right, Nick. That's a great point. Appreciate the phone call. They showed on that final the completion to DK on the third and long that it sucked. Him running the way that he did sucked up the linebacker that was there, and then he just threw it over the top of him. So I thought his decision-making last week was outstanding as to when to pull the ball down and take advantage of the green grass in front of him.
Yeah, he was playing smart, man. He rushed for, 44 yards, one big one on a third down for about 22, 25 yards, and I think he's getting healthy. I think Russell's been dealing with some type of injury the last quarter of the season. I forgot what game it was, but it seemed like there was a little glitch in his run. Mm-hmm. He's starting to look healthy right now. So if he can bust out another 50 yards, man, I like it. And that makes the defense be accountable. Those ends have to be disciplined. Those linebackers have to be disciplined. So the more that Russ can do, the more successful this offense will be.
All right, one more before the break. Lisa in Los Angeles. Lisa, go ahead.
Hi there. Do I need to turn my volume down?
If you have the radio on, yes, turn that off if you could. That'd be great.
Okay, great. This is for Jim Moore. I listened to you guys for years. I love you guys. I'm from Seattle. When Wazoo with Gardner Minshew lost in the snow, what I thought was interesting about that was they were the home team, and if any team was more experienced in the snow, it should have been them. So my theory is if it snows in Green Bay, Green Bay's going to lose. They're going to suffer from that same sort of weird thing. So I wanted to give you those odds.
I love that, Lisa. I'm glad you called with that information.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're a man who likes to look at odds. I think we should start stats on that phenomena.
Okay. I'll do it.
There you go. Lisa, thanks for the call.
Have a good weekend. Call again.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, Lisa.
Lisa sounds like a nice lady.
Yeah. And more importantly for Jim, she agrees with Jim.
There you go.
I know, it's so rare.
So there you go. She wants snow because it'll have more of an adverse impact on the Packers as opposed to the Seahawks who don't play in snow. But
it'll be fun when those snowflakes start coming down Sunday night.
I don't want snow. All right. Jim's got other concerns outside of snow. He's got concerns over numbers that are attached to road teams in the divisional round. We're going to try and use Pete Carroll and other Seahawks' positivity to talk him out of this negativity that he's got going on. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpus in for Dave on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Still Rush, Jim.
Tom Sawyer. Yeah? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
The song?
Yes, off the album Moving Pictures.
Thank you.
And I'm not even a fan.
Hmm.
This song was my introduction to Rush.
Was it? Are you a Rush fan?
Not really. I've always known who they were, but that movie, I Love You, Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were big Rush fans.
Paul Rudd. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great movie. But in case you missed why that's playing, Neil Peart, the drummer of Rush, passed away at the age of 67 from brain cancer and arguably the greatest drummer in the history of rock and roll. So a very sad passing for those of you wondering why that music's going on all day. Meanwhile, a reminder that you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. All right, Jim, you've got some numbers that have given you pause, given you reason to be concerned about what we may see this weekend in Green Bay.
Yeah, I was just looking at a few different things with this. We talked about it earlier, about last week with the wild card round. You've got teams that are a little more evenly matched. And then this week, you've got the higher seeded teams with a bye, and they're rested at home, and you've got this team coming in that's had a hard-fought battle already to advance to the next round, and so it leads to some troubling numbers if you're the road team in this round. And in the last eight games in this divisional round, the road teams are 1-7, and they haven't won. I think the last win was in 2017. Jacksonville won at Pittsburgh 45-42. So it just doesn't happen that often. You can understand why, because you got the better team sitting at home waiting, got a bye, they're rested and ready to go once they get there. And they're already the superior team anyway, seeding-wise. And then for Seattle in particular, they haven't won in this round as a road team since 1983. They've gone...
But boy, you remember that 83 matchup.
Yeah, they've gone 7 in a row that they've lost. And 83 was the first time they were in the divisional round, and they won that one. And in the 7 road games since... They've lost every time. So that's all I have for you, man.
All right. Well, here's Pete Carroll.
I kind of sound like Ross, don't I?
Yeah, a little negative.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
But that's not. I'm not saying there's a 0.000 chance of winning.
There's no chance.
I'm saying that the odds favor the Packers and every home team this weekend.
Well, Pete Carroll was on our sister station, Cairo FM, and he was asked why he seemed delighted to hear that only one 5 seed since 1990 has won the Super Bowl. Here's his response.
You seemed delighted when I gave you that stat last week, that 56 Super Bowl participants since 1990, only one has been a 5 seed, and you made it clear that you relish a challenge like that.
Well, heck yeah, I like to do stuff that nobody's ever done before. When you get close to that kind of stuff, that's good. That's a good challenge.
How about this? Only two teams in NFL history have won 9 road games in the same season. You could tie that, and you'd have a chance to break that possibly this season.
Well, that's
cool too, maybe.
Whoops. I'm not sure. Sorry about that, guys.
I'm sure it was going to be something really positive there. But, yeah, he's not afraid of that history at all. And then he went on to talk about it. He hopes the fans realize that this team is very unique and very special, and they are most certainly not done yet.
We're ready to get on a bus, and here we go. Here we go again, you know, 2-day trip, you know, to get this thing hammered out. And just the mentality and the outlook of these guys has been really, really special, like we've told you. And I hope our fans, you know, have a sense for that, because they would, if you guys could really get in behind our closed doors and see what this thing is like, you'd realize that this is a very, very unique group of guys, and the leadership has kept them all together, and it's really been a blast, and we're not ready to quit this thing. We want to keep going.
I think he's having more fun this year than he's had in a long time. And he has fun every year, but we had KJ in the other day, and he was talking about, just unprompted, just talking about, you know, there's no drama now, and you hear guys just talking about it, and I'm in that locker room after every home game, and there's just a harmony in there. There's just a peace, and it's not a shot at – you just had big personalities before with Sherm and Bennett and Baldwin and, you know, those guys, and you don't really have that right now.
Yeah, sometimes change is good, you know. You get rid of some older guys, and it's the NFL. NFL, not for long. You're not going to have the same team for long. Guys are going to move on. Guys' careers are cut short. Some guys play longer than others. So it's all about finding the right mix, and I think him and Schottenheimer have done a good job. They don't only draft football players, they draft people as well. And I think that they have a certain type of guy that they look for during this process, and they have a bunch of those guys in the locker room right now.
Yeah, I look at this team, and you just kind of marvel at what they've done, not only with the injuries, but it's not the most talented Seahawks team in the world. I mean, they certainly have talent. They wouldn't have gotten this far without the talent they have. But when you look at some of the stats with this team, especially defensively, They shouldn't be where they are, and here they are. So you chalk it up to Pete Carroll doing another great coaching job, and I just come back to that old thing about, you know, collectively they're better than they are individually. I mean, I just love that whole team concept, and this team has really embraced it. And KJ was talking about the cliques and the drama and the distractions they used to have in the past, and we know where some of those came from: Bennett, Sherman, Earl Thomas. As if Dave was here, he'd say that some of those guys got too big for their britches, and so I'll say it for him. And so now, yeah, I just
look at him putting words in Dave's mouth, and Dave's not even here.
I think all these guys love each other on this team, and it
comes across that way. And they have bought into the concept that it's a team, and I think they feel like underdogs because they're not expected to be as good as they are. They weren't expected to win 11 games and get to this point in the postseason, and at this point, they're being taped together. I mean, they are really a hodgepodge of players, and we're talking about guys coming up that haven't played this year, and we're trying to remember Wheeler. What's his first name? I mean, you're talking about the potential of somebody stepping in and in a crucial game, a game that will send you to the NFC title game.
Yeah, see, and that's a big concern too.
It's amazing.
I mean, yeah, not just with the Seahawks and their injuries, but last week you were facing an Eagles team that was just as banged up as you were.
Yeah, more so.
That's not the case with Green Bay this week. I mean, No. They got most of their horses ready to go.
Yeah, so this is a year if it's not Pete Carroll's best coaching job, it's up there. And we can lament what happens with timeouts and some of the situational things, but man, considering what he's had to work with and how it started out with, you know, a guy who had 10.5 sacks last year being suspended for the first 6 games of the year in Jaron Reed. That's where it started. And then you bring in guys who are hurt or they're not productive, and Ziggy Ansah and Clowney's hurt. Then he's productive. Then he's hurt again. And Brown's been hurt. And then Kendricks is lost. And Britt is lost. And Disley's lost. And Ed Dixon's lost. And I mean, it's just been one after another, yet you played in the toughest division in all of football.
Yep.
And Dave said it yesterday. I don't know if I'll assume it's true that they had the toughest schedule in all of football.
I saw something in the breakdown of it, yeah. The Packers were 27th.
So for them to be where they're at is I'm not cashing it in like, hey, it's been a good run, but I think it's okay to appreciate what they've overcome just to get to this point. That's impressive, and I put a lot of that on Pete. Again, it doesn't mean he's mistake free, but man, you got to give the guy credit for what they've been able to do.
Yeah, you got to give him credit, and then you look at the guys that he drafted. I mean, LJ was banged up early. He's getting some reps. Marquise Blair's been out there. DK's been out there. Cody Barton is a starter now. You got Ugo Amadi, who's played. Travis Homer has played. John Ursua has played. But that's a lot of rookies that you've counted on at some point in time. And if you're getting production out of rookies, that just means that you're doing a great job preparing them, or the team is doing a great job preparing them. And when it comes to preparation, it's not just the coaches, too. It's the leaders on the team. You know, it's Bobby, it's Russell, it's McDougal. It's the guys who have been there and done that. So, and you got to kind of, and when you get a young team like this, you can influence them. You know, I think that's why Pete's having such a great time with them, because he has a bigger influence on these guys than he had in the past with the Shermans and Bennett's or whatnot.
All right, coming up, it's time to make our bold predictions for the Sunday game and the rest of the game schedules on tap as well. So we'll get to all of that. Coming up, it is Bob, Dave, and Moore with Michael Bumpus in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
All right, it's prediction time. Jim, you've written an article, 710sports.com.
Yeah, and it's somebody posted it on Facebook. Boy, I'm just getting torn up one side and down the other.
Is there an article you write where you don't get torn up? Because I feel like I hear this every time we talk about something you've written.
I don't pick against the Seahawks every week, even though it seems like it. I did pick against them. I thought the Eagles were going to win last week, and I was wrong about that.
Well, you weren't alone, because who do we have filling in that day? Do we have somebody filling in? Who was with us?
Groz.
Well, yeah, it was Groz. That's right. You both picked the Eagles.
Yeah, and we were both wrong.
Well, that,
yeah.
But that's a good thing. You want to be wrong.
It happens. Yeah. So, yeah, I picked Green Bay to win 27-20, and, yeah, I'm a know-nothing and, you know, stupid. And
see, that's – I get – it's so silly. Like,
well, it's okay. It's hard to predict winners in
are you supposed to
games.
Say they go 16-0 every year? I mean, you go based on what you see and what the injuries are and where the strengths and weaknesses are. I don't think it makes you a Seahawk hater if you feel like – man, I think they're up against the wall this week. I think it's going to be tough for them to win. I don't think that's an unreasonable position. I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm wrong, too. In fact, I really want to see Minnesota. I can't wait for that game tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Minnesota-San Francisco game.
Oh, I really want to see Minnesota win.
I mean, they're seven-point underdogs, and Thielen got hurt this week in practice. He's got stitches in his ankle, but he made such a big play down there in New Orleans, and Diggs has been sick, and I'm hoping that Kirk Cousins, that's a game where it's always, and I think I heard you talking about it earlier this week, Michael, maybe it's like one of those games where, okay, Kirk Cousins couldn't win the big game. He's heard that over and over again. And now it's gone. So if I'm Cousins, I'm thinking, okay, I'm free to go here now. Let's see where I get. And maybe Garoppolo in his first playoff game won't play that well.
I think that Saints win could go a long way with Cousins. I'm pulling for the Vikings because I'd rather see them. I'd rather see the game here, as much as I know Dave believes that the 49ers are a better matchup. You beat the Vikings here before. I think you can do it again. I'd rather see the game here.
But. I don't think the 49ers is a better matchup. I think because of what they do offensively, it just scares the heck out of me. I mean, there's so many misdirections going on, and Garoppolo rolls right, throws left, and the motions in the backfield, and Kittle. I fear Kittle more than Rudolph. You know, the advantage that the Vikings do have are Diggs and Thielen back there, but just how they run their offense and the misdirection scares the heck out of me. I feel like the Vikings is straight up. You know, they're getting their power set. They're going to throw hitches. They'll throw outs. There's nothing too tricky when it comes to their offense.
So you would rather they win, Seahawks win, obviously, and the Vikings come here.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So give me your thoughts on this game, the Seahawks game.
Thoughts on the game. I think that they're going to pull it off. I think it's going to be a grinder. Well, kind of a grinder. I got them winning 24-20 was my prediction on the Tom, Jake, and Stacy show earlier today. So I'm going to stick with that. Sunday I might change because I'm going to go home and watch more film and convince myself of something else.
You might change the winner or just the score?
The score. I might change the score.
But you'll be sticking with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Seahawks. I think that Russell Wilson's just playing at a super high level right now. I think that he's going to have to throw the ball about 30 times to win this ball game, and I think they're going to do that, and I think they're going to pull the upset off and just finish the story, keep it rolling.
Man, I want you to be right so badly.
What have you got, Bob?
I've been going back and forth all week. I think it's a tall order, man. I think this team is just so banged up. We've got no idea what's going on with the offensive line. We're not going to know till game day, and I think that's a big deal because we're counting on the run game, especially if it snows, Jim. We need a run game, and I just don't know with an offensive line in the shape it may be in with the running backs that you have. I just don't know how realistic it is. You put everything on Russell, and I've got a lot of confidence in him, but you've got a rested, healthy Packer team at home. I think they're going to squeak it out. I think it's going to be a 21-17 Packer win, and I will be more than happy to be here on Monday and take every bit of heat if the Seahawks win. I will take every bit of it with a big smile on my face because I want the Seahawks to win. But I feel like this might be where it ends.
Yeah, well, even if you were on the fence about who was going to win this game and the Packers being favored by four, but I think what kind of turned the tide a little bit is this injury news today. And maybe Dwayne Brown, he's a game-time decision. So is George Fant, his replacement at left tackle. And so if you end up having to go with Chad Wheeler, a guy that you just promoted from the practice squad that played for the Giants last year at right tackle, and you're expecting him to be at left tackle after a week of practice and going against Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith.
That's a tall ask. Man.
Sit there, and after a while you go, man, this is really cool how the Seahawks are defying all these odds, but at some point, and then you look at what we talked about in the last segment, too, or a couple segments ago, about this round of the playoffs, how difficult it is for a road team under the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And these are the worst of circumstances for the Seahawks. But there's that magical thing about Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, and maybe they'll do it again.
I think they absolutely can. It will be the least shocking thing if they win. I think Green Bay squeaks it out, but if the Seahawks win, I'm not going to go, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Well, and because Green Bay's not that good anyway, right? I mean, that's the sense. At them and you're going, boy, they're 13-3. And then, you know, some guy was doing research earlier this week saying that they were the second worst 13-3 team in NFL history, Football Outsiders. And to the 1999 Colts, who got bounced in this round back in 1999. So, and you can see why Green Bay is considered that. They're the 27th toughest schedule in the league. Yeah. And Rodgers not having his best year, and they're not that great defensively. So you can see why there's some doubts about them, too.
quickly, give me the other game's winners. 49ers, Vikings, you like?
I'll go with Minnesota in an upset there, and I think Tennessee's going to cover the spread at Baltimore. And
but
I think
Ravens win.
And I think Kansas City wins by, I don't know, 17 points.
Bump, what do you think? 49ers, Vikings.
49ers, Vikings. I got the Vikings. I got them winning by three. I don't know what the score is, but they're going to win by three.
Ravens, Titans?
Ravens, Titans, Lamar Jackson all day. I don't see anybody stopping that kid.
Chiefs and Texans.
Chiefs and Texans. Mahomie.
Mahomie. My new Mahomie. I hope, you know what? I don't even care who wins in that game. I love both those quarterbacks. Yeah. I love watching Deshaun Watson play. I love watching Patrick Mahomes play. I think the Chiefs are going to get it. I think the Ravens are absolutely going to get it. I'm with you on the Vikings. I don't know if that's my heart or my head, but I'm saying the Vikings are going to win that game.
Does that give you more motivation if you're the Seahawks? I would think it would if Minnesota wins tomorrow.
Yeah, knowing you have a home game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl and it's at home, I would hope it does. Yeah. Human nature, Jim.
Yeah.
Human nature.
I'd be all over that.
We'll see what the professor thinks. Give him this list of games, see what he thinks about the Seahawks' chances. How concerned is he with their offensive line injuries? That's coming up. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. Michael Bumpus in for Dave on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
It's time to figure out if we've learned anything, and I've guessed, Moore, that we've learned a lot, because, as I said, Michael Bumpus has been with us today, and he's really smart, so there was a lot of learning going on.
Yeah, the first thing we learned is that you and Jim had to agree to disagree on the weather situation.
And it was so much fun. Everybody remembers, if you were alive then and you were a Seahawks fan, you remember the Seahawks going down there with Chuck Knox and beating Dan Marino. It was fantastic. But they haven't done it as a road team.
So why
since
put
1983?
Why put more in their way with snow? Why would you wish that?
Why do you think it would be such a negative?
Because I certainly don't think it's a positive. How does snow help?
He played in Wisconsin, Russell Wilson.
So being able to adapt to it is one thing. Does he excel in the snow? Do you have a stat
Let's find out.
Because I'm going to guess that he doesn't excel. He throws the ball
Why
better.
Why would you guess that?
Because I don't think it's an additive. I don't think it's a performance enhancer. I don't think
it's additive.
I don't think
you're talking about gasoline.
I don't
or
think
something.
Anybody says, you know, if only there were some snow in that game, that guy would have thrown the ball a lot better. Jim, did you find any stats to support Russell Wilson's dominance in the snow?
Sometimes I hear myself back again, and I'm just like, why don't you guys just tell me to shut up?
I was going to say, Jim's face as we were listening back to that was hilarious. He just didn't quite understand what he was listening to.
I mean, I get the aesthetic reason you'd want to see it. There's a charm to it. It's like old-time football, the old highlight reels we used to see. But I want the team to win, and I want as little in their way as possible. They have enough to deal with as it is. I don't need Mother Nature to be part of the problem.
Yeah, there's a chance when Devontae Adams is running his route that he might slip when Rodgers is throwing the ball.
That's a fair point. I just Bump, where are you at on this?
No snow, please.
You had Lisa agree with you, so you had that one.
Yeah, that's right. Lisa in Los Angeles.
As pretty as it may be, you'd rather no snow.
Yeah, no. So I'm a receiver too, man. I want to put my foot in the ground and go left whenever I want to.
Yeah, yeah. How much did that change how you would play? Would you take little baby steps? Would you shorten your steps and everything?
You're not going to be as explosive at the top of your route. When you open it up, you can still run pretty fast. It's that deceleration that's going to get you.
What else did we learn, Maura?
We learned that Michael Bumpus accomplished something Jim hasn't accomplished in 10 years of working here.
You got one today, and actually today marks 10 years that I've been at the station.
Really?
I can still remember when Owen Murphy, the former program director. One of your favorites.
No,
I know that. But he gave me a call. It was during Pete Carroll's press conference. Pete Carroll's been the coach of the Seahawks. He was introduced 10 years ago today. And I came in and worked with Calabro. But anyway, so I've been here 10 years, and I've never gotten a text like this one from the 360. I really enjoy having Michael Bumpus on the broadcast. Intelligent and good perspective.
They've never said that about you?
I've never gotten
that. Now you will get one. Now they're going to hear that.
10 years, I haven't gotten one.
And then what happened? They started coming in. We love Jim. Jim's the only reason I listen to the show. Great perspective, Jim.
No, I didn't say that to get that, but I enjoy working with Michael. It's fun.
Yeah, he does a great job. It's always fun when he's in here.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Listen, the more you're in, the more you'll get the other kind. that say, you're an idiot. Don't know what you're talking about.
I've gotten them, too. Don't worry about it.
As soon as they get familiar enough with you, they'll feel comfortable enough to say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're dumb.
We're still dating. We're not.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Everybody's on their best behavior now. Yeah. As soon as they get comfortable, then they'll show their real selves.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
Well, also, a happy 10-year anniversary, Jim.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I never in a million years thought I'd make it 10 years. I never thought I'd be in sports radio. And I think I've told you guys, or maybe I haven't told Michael, I get nervous every day still at 3 o'clock. It's not my favorite thing. My palms start sweating. And
it's not my favorite thing.
Maybe it's a good thing.
It means you care.
Yeah, I do care.
You know what I used to love is when I was doing the noon to 3 show and Jim would come in and it'd be a day where Danny was gone and for whatever reason, Jim would drive the show.
Oh,
he was a different person.
Really?
He was he'd come in, he wouldn't say anything. He'd just give you a real quiet, hey, Bob. And then I knew, Jim's driving the show.
He's locked in.
He was just like a panic. It shut you down.
Well, and then nobody wanted me to do it anymore because I wasn't myself.
It did change your personality, man. You were a different person the second you walked in the door.
Robotic.
Jim's driving the show.
Yeah.
Because he was tense.
Put his tie on?
No.
No?
No.
He was just really tense.
Yes, it's the Danny, Dave, and Moore show. We're sponsored by. Yeah, it was really bad. The golf show, though, I'm myself.
Are you?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the difference?
I don't know. It just seems different doing the golf show.
Well, I'm glad you're in your comfort zone now. I'm glad you're comfortable.
Oh, thanks.
What else did we learn?
We learned that Jim couldn't help but promote Bark to another guest.
So, Mina, I saw that you've had 5 million downloads since October, and I started a podcast called Bark. It's all about dogs, and I've had 12,000. So, I'm hoping that maybe I could get you as a guest sometime on a future season of Bark.
Me, but what about Lenny?
Well, yeah.
Like you're looking for a dog guest.
Yeah,
you've been invited on a show. So
okay, well, let's get Lenny. Let's make it happen if you're available for that.
Have your people call his people, okay?
Didn't sound like she's coming on, but the dog is, there's a shot there.
Okay, be a little difficult.
When I went to her live podcast, her and Danny Kelly from The Ringer were up on the stage, and then Lenny was at home with a dog sitter, and they had him on Skype.
Oh, really?
So just he was just on screen in the background, like licking himself while they're talking. It was funny.
That'd be the best part.
Yeah. Well, you remember J.D. McKissick, we had an interview with him, and he thinks his dog talks.
Oh, yeah.
So,
wait, what?
J.D. McKissick, who...
Oh, I know who he is. What did he say,
He swears that his dog is able to talk.
Like form words.
As he explained it, when his dog wants to go out, his dog will kind of go, come on, come on. Like, come on, let me out. But I haven't... He swears by it.
I've got it. Wait. I just did have it. I was going to play it for you guys. Let me find it here.
I love J.D. McKissick.
That'd be great if that were true.
Imagine
River just going, Jim, I'm starving, man.
Yeah. I love J.D. McKissick, though.
I know. So I liked him on this team, too.
Yeah, it's too bad they released him.
And he's got a talking dog. That's even better.
Yeah.
Did we find it?
I had it. I don't know where it went. Oh, wait. Here we go.
Savage really is like a human. I think he's a human. He talked to me one day. It may sound crazy, but he said a word. I forgot the word, but I was playing a video game and he said something. And I was like, I'm sounding crazy as hell right now.
What? Your dog said an actual word?
He said something, man. I think he wanted to go out, man. I think he said, come on. I'm serious. I think this man said, come on. And I'm like, whoa.
Now, hang on. Your dog utters a word and you can't quite remember what it was. I figure that would be embedded in your mind.
I love him for that.
Come on. That's great. Yeah. What's his dog's name? Savage? Is that what he
said?
Yeah,
Savage.
Savage. Yeah. Come on. Wait, what? What'd you say? That's awesome. Did we learn anything else?
I think that's all the learning we're going to have time for, but we learned a ton today.
Yeah, we did. We did. Hey, a reminder, the latest edition of Get in the Cage is up there for you at 710sports.com. I spoke with Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, talked about the Conor McGregor return that'll be happening next weekend, got into some boxing as well, some Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury conversation. So we touched on all of it. Check that out, It's brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. I want to thank our guests today, John Clayton and Mina Kimes, for joining us on the program. All of that, if you missed that, that's up there for you as well. 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then scroll down and click our picture, and everything you missed is waiting for you right there. Michael, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I want you to be right. I want to come in on Monday and go, Michael, I was wrong. I don't know what I was thinking. You were right. Seahawks win, and I am fired up for the NFC title game.
Let's plan on it.
Yes, I'm planning on that happening. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Seahawks. We'll talk to you on Monday with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I told my friends, man, go get the WD-40, man. I need to slap out of here.